Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Chatting with Sherry. Today we're going to chat with author Will Pollack. We're going to talk about Leaving Triscuit, which has a really cute cover of a dog, and and we're going to talk about creativity and have some fun. Hi, Will.
Hey, Sherry. Thanks for having me.
Welcome to the show. It's great to have you on the show. Why don't you tell the audience a little bit about yourself and your background?
Well, I am Will Pollack. I'm an author and blogger, freelance multimedia journalist based in Atlanta, and I'm originally from New York City. In fact, I'm a native New Yorker and relocated to Atlanta because just needed a break. And gosh, I've been doing this freelancing in some way, shape, or form for 15, 16 years or so. And yeah, that's basically it. I'm an avid tennis player, and I, of course, love animals, all animals, but especially dogs. Triscuit is asleep in my lap right now, which is the way all interviews should be conducted, if you ask me. But
yeah, my my cat's fast asleep in my bed. She's like,
there you go.
Don't disturb me. She's been fed. She went potty, and now she's fast asleep.
Excellent.
She's had her full morning. You're obviously a very creative person. What are some of your pursuits as a creative person?
Yeah, so recently, I would say within the last 4 years or so, well, actually, I take that back. I've had designs on being an author for a decade, basically, and I've been working on different projects here and there, and still to this day, I'm working on a bunch of different projects coming up. But the two projects that I have up and running now are, the first one is Pizza for Good, which is, it's hard to put it in a nutshell, but basically it is a mission-based cookbook on how to use America's favorite food as a fundraising tool. And it's based on my experience of throwing a New Year's Eve pizza party where I make all of the pizzas myself from scratch, and the dough and the toppings and all that stuff. The book has about 23 recipes along with story chapters and so forth that basically, you know, they tell a story of each pizza. So each pizza has its own crazy theme and nutty name. And all of that stuff is in support of fundraising for worthy causes. And like any book, like any independently published book, it's just really hard to get the word out, even though I, you know, really, really believe in this project in Pizza for Good and Leaving Triscuit, which we'll talk about. But it's been a chore. I don't know if that's the right word, but it's been hard. Let's just put it that way, that to get the word out. And that's why I really appreciate you having me on your show to talk about it. But Pizza for Good is an ebook, an enhanced ebook. So there's video embedded in there, and I'll just give you one example of one of the chapters. And so, like I said, each chapter corresponds to some nutty idea I had about a pizza. Oh, I'd say about maybe 8 or 10 years ago, I had an idea. Oh, let's do a Chick-fil-A pizza, and we'll buy Chick-fil-A tenders and cut them up and put them on a pizza and use their honey mustard as the base and throw some mozzarella cheese on it, and you have a pizza. And I decided to call it Closed on Sundays because Chick-fil-A is closed on Sundays. And so I wrote a whole article about and it, the chapter is dedicated to peaceful disruptors everywhere, because and peaceful protesters everywhere, I think is the word I use. And it basically talks about how the Chick-fil-A company was representing itself, and I guess in a lot of ways still does, as a Christian organization, and more power to them, that's great. And but when they shoulder shade into prejudice is when I start having
a problem,
yeah. Mm-hmm. And I don't want anybody to be discriminated against. It's just not right. And so I just talked about the whole sort of history of the protests and everything. And so that's just one example of one chapter in this book, and there are 23 of them. And there are lots of really cool stories about, my nephew, a mathematician who's doing all this stuff, and that pizza is called Pi, P-I, and his name is Ethan Brown. And there are lots of other stories, but it's a really fabulous book. It's now in print, and you can buy it on Etsy, and I'm happy to give that address, except I don't know it off the top of my head. But you can search. You can search Pizza for Good, and it'll come up. But, so that's Pizza for Good.
It is really difficult to get I have a book that I wrote that is a it's an anti-bullying book for toddlers. And even though that it's won awards and all kinds of stuff, it's still hard to get the word out. And I go on to shows, and I have a delightful time, and maybe sell one book on.
Yeah.
After I do it, it's so hard. And even though a portion of it goes to charity, it's still hard. Unless you're, a big person, big author. I think that's everybody. The only thing you can do is just keep trying,
Absolutely. And it's about, and this is true for all authors that are sort of emerging, is that if you're committed to being an author, do everything you can, even though it sounds narcissistic and it sounds weird, do everything you can to build your own author platform. And that is doing all the things that you just mentioned, even though it seems the author platform is built incrementally. Rome wasn't built in a day. Well, an author platform is not built in a year. It takes time, and you have to talk to people, individually, and do the work. It doesn't get bestowed on you. It's something that you have to work for. And I think sometimes that's a little bit of a misconception of people just starting out, that they think that they're going to flip on a switch and on Facebook, and it's all going to be taken care of for them, and it's not. So
no,
not to
and
be a dark cloud Carol, but it's true.
No, yeah, you're absolutely right. And also, the other thing you need to do is you have to talk to other authors, make friends, go to events, chat with the author sitting next to you at the table. It's so weird. I was at an author event a couple weeks ago, and I was chatting with one girl by my side, and we were having a great time, but we were looking at this other table across the way, and these two people, a man and a woman, they're sitting next to each other, and they actually had their chairs facing sort of away from each other, and we're like, okay, that's a strange dynamic. like, they didn't want to talk to each other. And I'm like, being a writer, it's so lonely. You don't get to meet other authors. You get to meet the public unless you go to an author event or you talk to them online. It's not the same. When you get a chance to meet other authors, say hi. Make friends. It's so important.
Absolutely, it is. It's so important. And it's you can get your next idea from that interaction. I don't know if this is true for a lot of people, but you think, well, what is another author going to do for me? Why am I going to a show? Why am I going to a conference? Just to meet. I want to talk to editors. I want to talk to agents, or I want to talk to blah blah blah. But you're absolutely right. Talking to other authors and people who are in your situation can get you to feel energized. But beyond that, you can make the next contact. You can get the next story idea. It's so great. And I always say that the best ideas bounce back to you through collaboration.
Oh, yeah.
And that's so.
And you learn stuff. If you're not mm-hmm. open to learning, you're not alive. And one of the things that happens when you're talking to authors, and I learn stuff every time I do an interview, you have to be open to hearing what other people have to say, or you're not going to do anything.
Absolutely.
Do you go conventions or writers' conferences and writing events, library stuff, or do you have things like that? Maybe you and Triscuit go and give a little talk about your book.
Haven't done that with Leaving Triscuit yet. I would really like to. Right now, I haven't done pretty much anything recently. My life's been turned upside down by my house being under construction, which is coming to an end, thankfully, mercifully. But I have been to the ASJA conference a couple of years ago, and that was really great. There's an event in Atlanta in the fall, and I'm going to go to that. And, I would love to hear any and all recommendations for book events, particularly for Leaving Triscuit, because I've done stuff for – I did the National Library Association. Pizza for Good was part of that, and it's going to be part of the library group going forward, and I'm really happy about that. So, I don't know of any sort of centralized location of journalism shows. If you do, please tell me, and maybe somebody, people listening will be able to be helped by that too. But ASJA is a great organization, and so I highly recommend that show. And it's usually in New York in April.
Really, I usually try to go to smaller stuff. I do stuff online. There's some really good author events and takeover events.
Mm-hmm.
That are fun, and that's something I learned from another author because I didn't know about it, where you go and you have an hour slot and you do whatever you want during the hour. You play games or you have, hunts through your website or you have trivia, all kinds of stuff. It's a lot of fun. In fact, I have one coming up next month. Or I go to local events, I create an event. I've done that too. You have to be creative. You have to think outside the box.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes there, because I'm weird. I don't do one thing. I have a book that's a murder mystery. I have a book that's a time travel story. I have a book that is a memoir. I have a book that is a children's book.
You and I are cut from the same cloth that way.
you do the same thing, all the different kinds of stuff. Yeah, it's just I only do romance, or I only do mystery, and I'm like, oh my gosh, I wish I was like that. I can't do that. I mean, just. That my brain doesn't work that way.
Me neither. We would get bored. If we had to write this about the same thing every time, we'd get bored. So.
Yeah, and I really respect someone like Joe Rawlings, who's known for the Harry Potter and fantasy, for doing a murder mystery and doing it under another name so nobody can judge her other than the book itself. I thought that was brilliant. I thought, whoa, that is a great idea.
That is a great idea.
Isn't it? I thought she was so mm-hmm. clever doing it. And I bought the book before I even knew it was by her. So now I have two copies, one with her name on it and the other with her undercover name on it.
Oh, that's great.
Because I'm a murder mystery buff. As well as a fantasy and science fiction lover. So, I mean, just I thought
Me
it was...
Too.
But see, that's what I mean. she thought outside the box. She thought of a way to do what she wanted to do in a clever way. And mm-hmm. I think that's something people need to do if mm-hmm. you want to get it out there.
Right. You're reinventing, your book is something you spent time on working on, and just in the same way you created the book, which is supposedly something totally new and something that is, even if it's in a category, it's supposed to stand on its own. So it's, you know, taking that creativity many steps further is the more, I mean, easier said than done, obviously, mm-hmm. but the marketing involves taking the creativity you used in the process of writing the book forward. And I mean, like you, with Pizza for Good, I basically, you know, stood on my head and spoke another language trying to get that thing, you know, marketed and tried all these different things. And it's still, you know, it's still a process, and I love it. It does feel frustrating sometimes, but I love it, and I'm
yeah.
proud of it. And I would encourage any other writers listening to do the same, you know. Get in that same space where you were when you were writing the book to get out there and sell it, because people deserve to read it.
And it's marketing to me. Writing is much easier than marketing. It's not because
mm-hmm.
it's just outing yourself. It's just that it's such a wide field and there's so many ways to go, and it's so hard to figure out what way to go.
Mm-hmm.
You know, how do you want to market this book? And it's almost as big a deal as writing it.
Mm-hmm.
You have to plan it. Like, you know how you do an outline for a book? You have to do an outline for marketing.
Totally true. Totally true.
It's one of those, it's the bane of every writer's existence. Actually, it's the bane of
mm-hmm.
every person who's creative's existence.
mm-hmm. Absolutely. Because because marketing is not just one thing, right? Marketing is an art form. Marketing is a business. Marketing
mm-hmm.
is a state of mind. Marketing is a future self plan. And there's many other things all in one. It's not just you sit at your desk and you write, which is what we writers, you know, we're
do.
Good at. We're locked and loaded at our desk. But marketing is a wide spectrum of things, and that outline is, you're right. That's important to get your thoughts organized on that.
And be open and listen. Like I said, meet other authors. Editors are very important, publishers, agents, all those are important, but you're going to get some of your best ideas from other authors, even in just casual conversation.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely.
It's just one of the ways to do it. We're at the 11-minute mark, so I want to give you plenty of time to talk about leaving Triscuit, especially since he's sleeping on your lap. And tell the people all about him and the book.
Yes, thank you. Yeah, so the Leaving Triscuit came about back in, well, I mean, I got her full-time in 2008, and it was basically the first time in my adult life when I had a dog. And so I would go on trips here and there, and I would get stressed out. But the longer trips, so the stuff that's like about a week to 10 days to 2 weeks, though, especially international trips, I would get. And even though I had every single T crossed and every I dotted, I would still get stressed out because I was worried about her. I was worried about her being without me. And that worry was manifesting me getting upset and her getting sick. So she would get mopey. She would become physically ill. So she would throw up, and this was like clockwork. And so you cut to 2012, and I had almost a three week trip to Ireland. Now, keep in mind I was traveling as an advisor, basically a traveling professor of photography at the time, and I was advising students who were up and coming, and it was supposed to be this great trip, and And in most ways it was, but it's just that I was so upset by leaving her for so long that I promised myself in that process that I would try to write, that I would take on a project that helped people overcome the stress of leaving pets, dogs and cats, on long trips or even short trips. And the resulting project is Leaving Triscuit, and I spoke to 4 animal communication experts, as well as human psychology experts, to craft a book that helps people get through this process and actually transmute the stress into something much better that's first, and also that you can grow from. And so I put these practices into place. And as soon as I did, I swear to you, Sherry, it was like flipping a light switch. Huh. And she was totally okay with me going on trips. She had a completely different mindset or a different emotional response. And I basically would tell her, look, I'm going on a trip, but it's no big deal. And daddy's coming back at blah-bitty-blah date, and you're going to have, you know, your Uncle Tyson to hang out with. And so I basically laid it all out for her. The main point here is that we are reflections of our animals. And if we don't take on these best practices, we're not living up to either of our best potential. And I have seen such a huge difference in me and in her by implementing these practices. And that's, I mean, after I made that promise to myself in 2012, I immediately got home and did interviews. And it took me a while to get the book published. And I'm so happy with it. And I just want to get the message out that there is a solution to stress about leaving animals.
Yeah, that's a great idea. So Triscuit is now a happy baby.
She is a happy baby, yeah. And in this wasn't a self-serving thing. I mean, I really my mission was to try to get it out there so people could benefit from it. But in actuality, when I started thinking about it, well, I should put this into practice and be the first, you know, patient zero, if that's not the right terminology. But and I did that. I put them into practice and the core concept of this book is picture imaging. And I talk at great length about how emotions can travel over space and time. And it doesn't matter if you accept that sort of metaphysical idea. I'm a metaphysics nut, and so I was deeply invested in trying to research this practice. But it's basically the idea that if you're in Toledo, Ohio, and your baby girl or boy is back in Florida, let's say, you can use picture imaging to communicate through space and time. And there's I cited the Tom Shadyac movie. I don't know if you saw this. It's called I Am, and it's a fabulous movie. I highly recommend it. If your listeners should go out and see this movie, because it talks all about the meaning of life. He had a I won't get into that because we're short on time. But anyway,
yeah,
the nut graph of that or the takeaway of that movie is that he did an experiment that showed that emotions don't need any sort of face-to-face interaction to travel. And he did an experiment where that all totally came true. It's very persuasive. It's really, really cool. And that was sort of an incidental thing that I learned. But basically, the main idea is to treat your dogs and cats with the respect that you would hope to get as a human.
Yeah.
And in the sense that they should be involved in your packing. They should be involved at every point. One of the first mistakes I made was to hide the packing from Triscuit when I was going to Ireland. I had no idea it was that I was doing something. I thought that was saving her from the stress, but in actuality, I was being secretive, and she didn't understand why I was being secretive. It felt bigger and more worrisome because of the fact that she wasn't involved in it, that I was trying to hide it from her. So that's just one example of just be upfront and honest, and it turns travel into a matter-of-fact thing that you both can kind of say, oh, okay, this is happening. It's no big deal. We can handle this. We can get through a week or 2 weeks. No problem. And that's basically, it changed in me, and as a result, it's changed in her and vice versa. So it's been a really positive outcome, and I really hope that it can help other people too.
Yeah, and it's funny because when you leave your pet, sometimes it's like, well, my cat, she likes to go in my suitcase. She likes to, like, what are you going to take?
Absolutely.
And, you know, she's very curious. I guess because she's, I don't think just because she's a cat, because when I had a dog, my dog Duchess used to be very curious. So I just think animals are just naturally as curious as humans. They just want to see.
Absolutely they are. Yeah, absolutely. And in the mistake I made about hiding the packing, it's insulting their intelligence to do that, to do something. It's not that I was being mean or that I was doing it intentionally.
No.
I thought I was saving her from the stress, but to your point, it's not taking their intelligence. It's not legitimizing their intelligence is what I'm trying to say, and taking it seriously. And Triscuit does the exact same thing that your cat does, which is like clockwork. If I bring out the suitcases and the zippers fly, she jumps right in the suitcase and says, take me with you.
Yeah.
And sometimes I do, and sometimes I don't. So.
Yeah, and sometimes, and a pet in a hotel room is the funniest thing on earth. I mean, we went as a family somewhere, and we brought Xena, and that's my cat. And she claimed there was three of us and four beds, and she claimed the fourth bed.
Oh, my God.
Actually, and she claimed it first. It was hilarious.
Oh, that's funny.
She said, this one's mine.
You guys can't have this bed. It's mine.
It's mine. Yeah, she took it. It's funny because I brought her bed. I brought her pole. I brought all her stuff so she'd be really comfortable. And what'd she do? First thing, right on the bed.
Oh, that's funny.
She's such a good girl, though. We don't have a lot of time, so if you know what your website is, could you give that to the, you know, the audience so they can find you?
Absolutely. I'd be glad to. So the book blog is leavingtriscuit.com. Pizza for Good is pizzaforgood.net. I write a weekly news and pop culture blog called Cranky Yank, and that's at crankyyank.com. And that blog has all sorts of references to, you know, my book projects and anything that's coming up. And one other thing I want to mention, and at crankyyank.com, my personal blog is willpollock.com. And I am doing a Pizza for Good event in San Diego in October, first week in October. Anybody, any of your listeners who are in the area, please do try to come and watch the website for information.
Cool. So maybe I'll come see you.
That'd be great. That'd be great.
Do you have any other events coming up? You have that event in San Diego. Do you have any other events that you want people to know? Because we have like 30 seconds.
Yes, absolutely. So Art Vision, I didn't have a chance to tell you guys about Art Vision, but Art Vision is my annual charity. We have an artist call going on right now for mediums of all types, and that website is artvisionatl.org, and it's all for charity. It's for a charity called Lost and Found Youth, which provides support for homeless LGBTQ youth in Atlanta.
Cool. Okay. And when I do my wrap-up blog next week, I will mention some of your information, so it'll be out there.
Oh, that'd be great. And I'll give you some more information. I'll give you the book trailers and all sorts of stuff that you might be able to post, and so that'd be great.
Great. We're at the end of our time. Thank you so much. I really enjoyed our little chat.
Likewise, Sherry. Thanks for having me.
Thank you. And thank you for chatting with Sherry.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.